allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Board of Supervisors meeting, May the 18th, 2021. Is there any changes in the agenda?
I have none.
Meet with department heads, direct officials. Terry Johnson, County Auditor.
Hello, we're just keeping busy in the office and just moving along with everything that we need to do, so.
Busy, busy.
Yep.
Auditor, IT.
I just keep busy like always. We're going to do a pretty large migration here at the end of the week, so doing a little more prep work for that, but other than that, nothing new to report.
Okay, thank you. Kevin Glendenny, County Sheriff.
Good morning. No major news from the sheriff's office as well. Things are going well over there, though.
I see on your website where you made a real quick arrest up in Mediapolis. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, we had some great success up there. The citizens helped a bunch. We had some video surveillance, and the detectives responded to the scene, and they were able to process some things and locate our suspect right away, so it went well.
Good. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
I'm going to second that, only I'd rather not be in the newspaper. I would like to say congratulations, coming from the dad of a daughter that locked that business up that night. So that kind of rocked her world when she woke up the next day to text messages, because she had to go in at noon the next day that they'd been broken into. So it was nice that they did that. I was not surprised, to be honest with you. I mean, let's face it, you're not dealing with the brainiacs sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning. But either way, it was nice to see them get nailed.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Nice work.
Well, thanks.
I'll pass that along with it. So, and other than that, we're tired of rain. So
say that again, brother.
And we will want it in July and August. You'll hear me say the exact opposite, and we could use some rain at that point, and I acknowledge that. But it's just, everybody knows it. It's just wet. It's too wet. What's kind of strange is that it's not that widespread. You go a couple hours west of us, and they needed the rain. You go up to northern Iowa, and they need the rain, too. But right at the moment, we could share it. So,
I've got plenty in my basement I would love to share.
Yeah.
Just throw that out there. Anybody want some?
And that is the thing. We're getting to a point where those are the calls you start to get is, hey, my basement's wet. Now you need to do something about it. You know, I don't know. It's just the way it is. So, the guys are keeping busy. Obviously, projects aren't moving right at the moment. And is it too big a pun to say we're just treading water, but that's kind of the way it is right at the moment. So we'll definitely have some blading to do when we finally dry out again.
Did you get any requests for up dog over the weekend?
No requests. I appreciate the check.
But, you know, sometimes people want up dog, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. So other than that, I think they are mostly done on the dirt on the south end of Highway 99 bridge. They got some loads hauled in right before this rain really started up and got some of that spread out. The work's not done, but they should be able to move over. And actually were a few guys down there doing some stuff yesterday where they could stay out of the rain. It wasn't dirt work, it was other stuff. And they might start doing some pavement removal on the north side, and that can be done in the rain if they want to get going on that. So, but in general, we're a little bit of a standstill at the moment, understandably so, on a lot of fronts. So,
okay, thank you, Brian. Jared Lassiter, Regional Planning.
Morning. Land use, I think it's been just steady, typical amount of inquiries on land use matters. We have one item on the agenda for today. We got one minor subdivision out for review. We also have a whole subdivision we have a zoning commission meeting set for a public hearing on that next week for a preliminary plat. Apart from that, I don't have anything significant to go over.
Okay, thank you. Chris Lee, Conservation Director.
Remember a few weeks ago when we were complaining about the dust? Man, I miss those days. Yeah, it's awful soggy. We had our events at the Big Hollow on Saturday, our open house, and our was going to be our flotilla event on the lake, and those were both canceled because it just rained nonstop all day long. But we're going to probably try to reschedule those for June 5th. Still just double checking and coordinating schedules, make sure that is right. But once we get all that squared away, we'll get those announcements out. We'll try conversion 2.0 a couple Saturdays from now. So other than that, just kind of keeping on, trying to not drown. It's nice, I guess, if there is a bright side to this, that these systems have been here in south, and it doesn't seem to be pushing the river up. So when we get rains like this at the start of monsoon season, that starts flying up. That hasn't been the case, so we'll take that for now.
Thanks, Chris. Ken Hindman, the SEAL, whatever you are.
Mental health. Services. Yep. Ha. Good morning. We had our SEAL monthly meeting last Wednesday, and we got three more contracts approved through the governing board. Three more to go in June, and then we'll be done with the contracting. I think one of the big things we talked about last Wednesday was Senate File 619, where the state wants to take over funding of mental health and do away with the tax levy system that we have today. And so some talking points were created after that meeting, that the SEAL region would see a decrease in sustainable revenue from $42.60 per capita down to $37 per capita. So we would lose revenue. That would mean we would lose some services. There would be limited ability to build new services that have been the new legislated services that are out there. With the decrease, now they want to decrease our fund balance too, down to 5% over time. You know, it'd be 40% the end of this coming fiscal year, FY22, then it dropped down to 20% fund balance in FY23, and then 5% from FY24 on. So with only a 5% fund balance, you know, we don't get taxes in till 3 months into the fiscal year, and 5% isn't enough to pay for services or for staff costs or anything. So that's a real problem. There's incentive funds in the bill, but they're not guaranteed funds. They're not reliable. It just depends on whether you get them or not from the state from year to year. The region would be forced to evaluate current available services using utilization review in conjunction with status of service, like whether they're mandated or core plus or non-core, and performance outcomes. The region will have to prioritize core services over non-core, so things like jail diversion that we're funding now, that's not a core service, so we could lose jail diversion. We could lose our drop-in services that are very helpful to people with mental health needs, where they can just drop in and not have a lot of paperwork to fill out to get a service. And a lot of those are supporting people on waiting lists and stuff like that. And one other point was local elected officials, local government would have diminished capacity to address SEAL population MHDS needs or strategize financial administration across various services and supports provided by the county government, like jail systems, court costs, emergency services, health departments, county hospitals, general assistance programs, DCAT, etc. So we really use those local dollars, and we stretch them to do a lot of things, and it affects a lot of different other services. When we lose money and we can't provide mental health services to people, all of a sudden there's more people in jail, there's more people needing services elsewhere in the county that ends up costing money. I got some list of those talking points. Now, the last I heard that, at first, last week on Wednesday, they were saying that the Senate and the House were not agreeing. The House did not, they had their own version and it did not have all these cuts in it. So we liked the House version better last week. But now I'm hearing that they're amending this Senate file 619. And it looks to me like most of the Senate stuff is still in there. So And the House is, the governor's pushing for the House and the Senate to hurry up with the bill, you know, so it's just a concern, so we'll see what happens.
Well, when it comes down to it, it's gonna cost taxpayers.
Yeah.
Exactly, and, but I'm not gonna go there.
Don't go there, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Doug Urban, the jail administrator.
Good morning, everything's going good out the jail. Our state jail inspection's coming up here in June, and that's gonna be done virtually again. Which that simply means all the paperwork and everything still has to be sent into the state. He's just not gonna make an onsite visit. So that's, we're taking care of that now. Population's at 73 this morning with 6 of those out of county. Other than that, everything's going well.
Good. Thank you, Doug.
How often do you guys have an onsite visit? Is that every other year? How's that work?
Once a year.
Once a year?
Normally it's once a year. The last 2 years it's been virtual, but that's due to COVID is the direct correlation there.
Janelle?
Good morning. We're just keeping busy with our tax sale list, getting that ready for publication in the paper, and then we'll be ready for the tax sale in June. So other than that, keeping busy. Motor vehicle's always busy.
Yeah, well, does the tax sale look like a lot of them gonna be up on that tax sale this year?
There's several payments still rolling in, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, since we sent
that COVID really affected you on that.
What was that?
I didn't know how this COVID-19 could affect that, people not being able to pay their taxes so forth, so.
There's quite a few, but.
Quite a few.
But like I said, payments are still, well, I haven't got the exact number yet, so I can't really answer that question.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Krista Poymiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We're continuing with our COVID vaccine and case investigations for COVID. We have our mobile immunization clinic ready that we're going to take it to the farmer's market this week. We'll be from 4 to 7 on the 500 block of Jefferson Street, and we will be giving the Pfizer and the Johnson & Johnson. People don't need to register, they just need to come up and we will get vaccine. We're expanding out as much of reaching out to rural communities as well, so on Monday, the 24th, we will be in Middletown at City Hall from 10 to 2, again offering the Pfizer and the Johnson & Johnson. And on Tuesday, the 25th, we'll be at Grace United Methodist Church, and that is at the 1100 Angular Street. So we're trying to set up as many mobile clinics as possible, really trying to do the outreach. You know, sometimes people have trouble with transportation or childcare, and this gives them an opportunity as we're getting out there, hopefully make it easier for people to get the COVID vaccine.
On the mobile, I was talking to some people that we talked about. Is this going to be, do they have to make an appointment or something for you to bring the mobile truck on a Sunday? If you're gonna hit churches?
Yep, we just need to coordinate a time. We're more than willing to go anywhere, anybody that'll have us. What I've been doing is reaching out to people, asking them if we could set up a places. But if anyone is interested in having the mobile vaccine clinic come, they just need to reach out to public health, get a hold of me, and we'll definitely set that up because we want to encourage people to get the vaccine, and I think this just makes it a little easier, more convenient.
You guys have really been doing a good job.
You.
We started off, man, they were talking about us, you know what I'm saying? I'll tell you, like I was actually a part of, but the county, you guys really did, came through, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did I hear you right? You said you give them a choice of the two, Pfizer or the Johnson & Johnson?
Yes, we have an allotment of the Johnson & Johnson, so there's been some things in the media, you know, they suspended giving the Johnson & Johnson for a while due to some cases of the, they had the blood clots or the thrombocytopenia, and so we offer it both, because the Pfizer's two shots, but a lot of people still want the Johnson & Johnson, and I think really having that opportunity to get those at some of those mobile clinics will hopefully bring in some more people who would be interested in that, because we really haven't had much Johnson & Johnson at all in our county.
You haven't given very many Johnson & Johnson?
We have not. So because we were able to store the Pfizer, we had a place here in town that could store the -60 to -80 degrees Celsius Pfizer. we have received mostly Pfizer vaccines. So we've not had the opportunity for the Johnson & Johnson. So we've had, you know, maybe a couple hundred doses in our county. So now we're starting to get some of the Johnson & Johnson, and which is great timing because I think with the mobile clinics, it makes it easy. People can come get a one shot and be done. The one thing is, though, they have increased age-wise. Now people, or children 12 and older, can get the vaccine, but it's only the Pfizer vaccine. So the Johnson & Johnson is still 18 and older, whereas the Pfizer vaccine is now 12 and older. So we ask anyone who, 12 to 15, we want parents to accompany kids when they're getting the vaccine. Obviously, they'll need parental consent. You know, 16 to 18-year-olds, we are saying that they can have their family, their parents give parental consent and have the form signed. But we do want 12 to 15-year-olds to be accompanied by adults, their parents.
What about under 12? No?
No, not at this point in time. This just actually, it was on Friday that they, yesterday that we got the emergency use authorization from the state that they would be increasing the age from the 12 to 15-year-olds. Our cases are a little bit higher this last seven. The rolling 7 days is 9% at 38 cases. We are seeing quite a bit of, again, household contact. And so when we have someone in the house, those numbers go up a little bit. So we do expect those to go back down. Contact tracing, they have now changed for the state of Iowa as well. We are only contact tracing people who are in households. So contact tracing, if someone has COVID, we used to reach out and say, who are you within 6 feet for a duration of 15 minutes? And now they've changed that. We're only contact tracing people in the same household because there is so much people in the same household share that a lot. And so there's a lot of familial with the COVID cases. And then as well as congregate housing. So if we had someone who lived in assisted living or long-term care, we would definitely do contact tracing on that as well, just because of the exposure.
Did you guys hit all the, how does that work with the, I'm trying to think of that rose bush and all, I mean, how did you guys handle that?
So when this all started with COVID vaccines, 50% of the allotment was given to the federal partners for the pharmacy contracts. And so CVS, Walgreens, they took those. We are still working with assisted living and long-term care. So a lot of the pharmacy contracts may not be giving those follow-up immunizations for people that have moved into long-term care assisted living, and they'll contact us. So when we had our vaccine clinic, some of the long-term care facilities brought their residents to the clinic in their van, and then we would just go outside and vaccinate them, or we can coordinate with them either way. But yes, we do still work with them to make sure anyone in long-term care is vaccinated.
Did we do anything with Autumn Heights? I shouldn't waste your time.
Yes.
Okay.
They did. Actually, that was Heidi actually had kind of set up with them and had done that vaccine. We have gone to a lot of apartments and we're still scheduling. So if there's any apartment complexes that would like public health to come get vaccine, we are more than willing to take that everywhere. Setting up a clinic in those kind of places is wonderful because that way, again, it makes it easier for the transportation piece. So, and then we're also starting on, next week we'll start on mosquito surveillance. And so we do mosquito trapping for 12 weeks during the summer, and we're obviously looking to see for any mosquitoes that would potentially, the type of mosquitoes that could carry West Nile virus or the Zika virus. We've not had any of them that have carried the virus, and there's been no documented cases. There was one in Iowa, but that was the Zika virus that was from traveling. So, but we do monitor that to make sure that if there's any mosquitoes out there, then we do the tracking and then send that to Iowa State for the testing. So,
what happened with Zika last summer?
We did the trapping. So the Aedes albopictus mosquito is the one that can carry the Zika virus. We had some of the mosquitoes in our county, but none of them were positive for the Zika virus. So they're just monitoring the migration as far as they came up from the south, these mosquitoes, and they monitor to see how far up north that they're going. And so that's why we do the trapping in different parts of the county.
Thank you. Did I miss anybody in here? Well, thanks for the call. Do we have anybody? Moving on to correspondence. I have no correspondence here. I don't have any. How about you, Shane?
I don't have any correspondence either.
Okay, we'll move on to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable for $662,366.61.
I move to approve.
I'll second. Terry?
Shane Campbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay, we have payroll claim reimbursements in amount of $314.02.
I move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay. Now we have a tax abatement request for the city of Burlington. Attention Des Moines County Supervisors and Terry Johnson. The city is requesting the release of any and all property taxes associated with the following property: 312 Griswold Street. What's his name? Some legal description. If you have any questions, please contact me. And that's signed by Kathleen Salisbury.
And there's actually four of them on there. Take the big paper clip off. And there you go.
We also have the same reading, but it's also for a partial ID of 15-01-326-011. And that's in Flint Ridge Business Park, 16, additional lot A. And we have another one, the same reading to carry them. And this here is a partial 15-01-326-13. And it's the township 69. And this is also signed from Ms. Salisbury. Another request, the same request on the form letter, but this is for partial and lot 750 and lot 751-52. This is in original, that's the original city lot with 887 PCLC. We have one more. This is legal description.
Those are just the copies there, Jim. I keep copies of all of the ones that are signed, so.
It's all of them right there then?
Yes, yeah.
Yep, so there's just four of them there.
Yep. I move to approve tax abatement request from the city of Burlington.
I'll second that. We'll sign you there for the meeting, okay?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Okay. Moving on to D, we have the final plat for the resolution 2021-029 for the Flint Creek Hill subdivision. Jared, that would be you.
This is in the western part of the county on Jimtown Road, just to the west of Danville Road and a little bit south of 180th Street. It's actually simpler than it looks here. I know it shows two lots here. It's actually going to, the purpose here is to transfer land between adjoining landowners. I got one property owner that has a pretty large acreage between Danville and Jimtown Roads. And then there's also an existing residential property on Jimtown Road. And the owner of that property is interested in purchasing about 30 acres of land immediately surrounding. And the only reason it's shown as two lots on here is because the way it was surveyed, they come to a point there where the two lots intersect, so they were just surveyed as two separate lots, given that they're largely separate, physically separate. So lot one has about 26 acres that's to the north of the existing residential property, and then the other one is about 4.5 acres to the south. So the intention is to keep the land as farmland for now. It sounds like there may be an eventual interest in having a home built somewhere on lot one, but that would be at least a few years off, it sounds like. So in terms of comments received, we did get a comment from NRCS noting that there is some CRP ground on lot one, kind of in an area along the edge of a ravine, because there's essentially two areas of farmland that are split by the ravine. So I was actually already aware of that since the attorney for the subdivision had submitted some documentation with the application, which attested to the presence of that CRP land. So obviously they're well aware of that. And then from Secondary Roads, noting that there are some potential site distance issues along Jimtown Road in this area, so the need to continue using the same access points from the road. I guess it appears that there are two access points for lot one, one for each of those two separate areas of farmland around the ravine, and then lot two already has its own entrance. So spoke with the subdivider about that. It seems like that's their intention to continue using those same entrances anyway. However, just so it's on the record, we've included that as on a condition with the resolution that it would need to use the existing access points from Jimtown Road. So with that, recommend approval of Flint Creek Hill subdivision.
I move to approve final plat resolution.
Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Thank you. Then we have liquor license for Born on the Ridge for Hy-Vee. It's a 5-day license and it's looks like 7th month, 8th day to the 7th month, 13th day of 21. Anybody oppose this?
I would certainly hear about any issues out there.
So. All right, then. I move to approve.
Second.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes. We have another one here. Excuse me. Too much coffee. Liquor license for the Barn on the Ridge from Hy-Vee. Reception is from 5:29 to 6:03.
I was just looking to see if he was going to give us an eye. I move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes, please.
Jim Carey?
Yes. I don't think he wants to get quit. Okay, we have a personnel action. We have one from assessor's office for Steve Etka Jr., property appraiser, new hire, $50,000, start date 5/24/21.
Move to approve.
Terry? Second. I'll second. Then okay. Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes. We have one from the county's attorneys, Trent Hinklebank, unpaid time for personal vacation schedule prior to hire date, 15 hours.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Shane Campbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
I had to think about Trent getting money. I had to think about that for a minute, you know? I hope he's watching.
And we have one for the Correctional Center. And this is for Cody Reynolds, correctional officer full time, unpaid time off, 8 1/4 hours on 5/9/21.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes. We have reports.
We have the clerk's report for fees collected on April 21, and we have the sheriff's monthly reports for April 21. These reports will be on file in the auditor's office for your convenience to look over.
I thought you forgot to say, for your viewing pleasure. If Terry, you can be the one, you know, pointing it like this, pointing all the papers. That could be really cool.
Okay, we have minutes from the regular meeting of May 11th.
I move for approval.
21. Second, Terry.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Okay. Is there any other business? I have none.
Yeah, actually I had some business. I was just really disappointed, and I wanted to share my disappointment with all of you. Would you like to know what it is? Thank you, Ken, for shaking your head. I got a little bit from Chris. My birthday was on the 16th. When I was working for the city, they made me feel special. I would get a card, a happy birthday. Hey, Mr. McCampbell, you know what I got down here at the county? Donut. I don't mean the glazed kind. So I'm going to forgive you guys this year, but next year, I'm expecting something. Can I do that? Can I say that publicly over a meeting? Really disappointed, Colin. Really disappointed.
Yeah, I bring donuts in for my office for my birthday, just so everybody knows. So.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah.
Nobody hit me to that.
It's opposite. So they see the donuts, like, oh,
I'm learning. This is all new to me. Yeah. I'm learning the process.
And in our office, when it's the person's birthday, they bring the treats in for everybody
right,
else.
Yeah. Oh, right. You got turned around.
I don't remember. See how she flipped it? I don't remember that.
So,
Shane, I'm very disappointed in you.
We're all waiting for you to bring the donuts. Shame. I wonder how come everybody turned their back on me when I walked in.
No donuts? I like mine, Phil.
You too. Jelly Phil's the best. I'll remember that.
Let's see. I'd say 36 next week for other people going to hear this.
I think you're probably right.
Was it the big 6-0?
What's that? What'd you just say? Oh, my God, was it bothering me? I grabbed my cane and I whack you in the kneecap. How are you, BC, 45, 46?
Barely.
You're in your 40s though, right?
Yeah.
He 45. Celebrated one last week.
Yes, I did. And I brought breakfast to the office.
Did you have a birthday last week?
I did.
Nobody told me about it.
No, I didn't know. That's all right.
I got one next week.
You got a birthday next week? How old are you going to be? Are you and Broker the same age? Isn't that right?
You two old farts.
What's your name?
Hey, any future agenda items outside of the donuts and Bob's going to bring
you? Now that you squared me away on the donuts, Jimmy, I think I'm good.
Bob's got a birthday next week.
It's true. Your business. Don't
you understand. You can forget mine and we'll be even.
Committee reports.
Nothing to report.
I had a meeting with the Russ and with Henry County. We did the same MOU with Henry County on our with Russ going to take care of Henry County for the tanning, and so that's cut and dried thanks to you getting that activated for Des Moines County, Chris. So appreciate that. That's all I had. Public input. Anybody from the public wishing to speak? We're going to give you 2 minutes. Anyone with questions during the meeting, they can email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. Again, that's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you 2 minutes, and anybody in here have anything to say from the public? Yes, Bob.
If you'll bear with me just for a second, today is an important day in history. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. On this day in 1980, my wife and I got in the car to go to Portland in Oregon. And we got in a fight. So I got out and hitchhiked back to town. And that's when Mount St. Helens blew up just across the river from Portland. So I didn't get to see that eruption. And my wife and I separated later that week. And then she moved out and then we got divorced. So Mount St. Helens blew up and that started the end of my 14-year marriage, which is a nice thing to think about, you know. Go out with a bang.
Everything makes sense. Now I know why my ex-wife talked to me. It was that Scooby-Doo cartoon that was on. When he was leaving, that was the end of it. Now it all makes sense, Bob.
No, this was Mount St. Helens blew up in 1980. And if you were out west, that was a pretty shocking thing.
Remember the gentleman that wouldn't move out of his house? Harry Truman?
He had the same name as the president, but yep. I don't remember what it was.
Harry Truman.
Yeah, he stayed up there on Mount St.
Helens. Stayed up on Mount St. Helens, he blew up with it.
Disappeared. Yeah.
So is that a true story about the wife thing? Was that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
But the worst part about it for me is I didn't get to see the first eruption. That was the big one.
Anybody else got anything that's interesting?
I'll just give you my legislative talking points that I think.
Thanks. Was out. Thank you. Ken.
I'll give this to you in just a second.
Okay, and that's it. With an aye, we're out of here.
Aye.
Aye.